Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, as we are the day after Eagles games always. The Jordan Mailata Show at 6 tonight with Elliot, Jordan, and myself. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks. So the Eagles will be without Lane Johnson for an indeterminate amount of time. It seems like at least a month. He has a Lisfranc sprain. And we'll miss 4 to 6 weeks. So you had a Lisfranc injury at one point?
Yeah, I had this very injury. And I got it a year. I mean, three of us got it that year. Deuce Staley got it in like the second or third week of the season, maybe the fourth week of the season. It basically ended his season. He needed surgery.
Okay.
And I think this was 02. It was 01. Yeah, it was 01. And I got it, and another player got it. Rod Smarter got it. And he and I both got Lisfranc sprains in the last meaningless game down in Tampa. We had to make up the Tampa game from 9/11.
Yep.
And it didn't count for anything at the end of the year. We were already in the playoffs. And I got injured in that game, so I missed the playoffs. The only games I missed in my career was that postseason. And I say that to say my foot wasn't back right until that April.
Oh, wow.
Sometime that spring. So, now there's always varying degrees of the sprain.
Yep.
I'm just saying, the worst ones is the one that needs surgery, because that takes almost a year.
And it's at the top of your foot?
Yes.
And
mine was the fifth metacarpal in my foot.
So, what I wonder, and from my long history talking about feet injury, mm-hmm. with the
So,
the
you see
Sixers.
Your hand?
Yes.
It's a good example. You got your hand out like this, so,
yep.
So like these are your toes.
Yep.
It's this area.
So is one of the issues there, I know there's not a lot of blood flow in that mm-hmm. area. Is that one of the issues with
yep.
the healing? There's not a lot of blood flow in that area.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
the blood flow issue?
What? No. The different blood flow issue
than
we were talking
about
before. Yeah.
What's wrong with you, man?
So, you know, it's been, you know, we've been beat over the head with, and it's true, the Eagles do not have a great record without Lane Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Johnson, I imagine, will take his spot on the offensive line. The thing that that is obvious, Fred Johnson's done a good job filling in for Lane, but that is a step down. The other place it hurts them is not being able to use Fred Johnson
yes.
as that sixth
yep.
offensive lineman, as they've been able to do, that had helped them run the ball pretty well mm-hmm. for a couple of games there leading up to the bye week, which means who would be it? Would it be Pryor?
Pryor, right?
Pryor yeah. in that spot. Mm. And I wonder if they even try that at all with Pryor instead of Lane. You know, the good thing is it seems like if this goes according to schedule, they have Lane Johnson back for the playoffs. I think at this point, hopefully he's back before then. At this point, with the lead they have in the NFC East, the fact that the rest of their schedule is not nearly as hard as the first part of their schedule was, those mm-hmm. two Commanders games look a lot easier than they did. No game's easy, but hopefully we have him back at full strength for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think that's the way you probably have to look at it.
And I will say my injury was 25 years ago.
Yes, yes, yes.
Medicine
yes.
has advanced.
Yes.
So, you know, what took me longer to sort of heal just through rehab and rest, there was no corrective surgery. There was nothing. It was just basically getting rehab and trying to get the, like you said, the blood flow back in there. So maybe he's able to come back in 4 to 6 weeks.
Yep.
Like I said, it's 25 years. And so they got the technology and the medical advancements now that these guys come back from injuries a lot sooner than we did two decades ago.
Well, and the good thing is, so they've had a lot of offensive line injury problems this year. We had the you know, about a month with Landon where he was mm-hmm. in or out. Cam has had the injury
issue. He still isn't fully healthy.
He is not. Then Lane's out. What I hope is, and that is part of the good reason them stacking those wins earlier, you end up having these injury issues. You can get them back for the playoffs. Luckily, you're 8-2 and not 6-4
right.
in this spot.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Chuck in Mount Airy, you're on WIP. What's up, Chuck?
What's up, fellas? How you doing? What up? Ike, what's going on?
What up, Chuck?
Hey, listen, let me first say this, right, to everybody out there. You know, we all have opinions when we call this radio station, okay? Nothing is true. We're not true. We're not false. We're not liars. We're not, you know, we're not reporters, none of that. We are all callers. We have opinions. And let's just have a certain level of respect for each other. And I'm not talking indirect. I'm talking to you, OG Wade. Have respect. When you speak my name, okay? When I see you, I want to still be able to say what's up to you and keep it moving. Jalen, you don't know Jalen from a can of paint, all right? We all Eagles fans in this situation. I'm leaving that there. And let me get into this game yesterday, right? I just want
Something
to say this. It's like me watching two different teams. You know, I hear you, Ike, when you say we 8-2, and I want to be happy we 8-2. But how can I be happy we're 8-2 when they're not even happy they 8-2? On the offensive side, the defense is fine. I mean, they flying around, you know, they're front side of the ball, they hitting, you know, they communicating, they giving each other a top five, you know, that just seems like two different teams, you know, on the same team. How are we supposed to be happy at 8-2 as fans when we see all this stuff that's happening around our organization and around this number one seeded Eagles team? It has a chance to repeat, and they don't even realize what they got in front of their face. That the offense, they look miserable. The coach, the quarterback, you know what I mean? The wide receiver, you know, the running back, even Saquon, he don't have the same smile on his face. They all look miserable, man, on that side.
They're frustrated. Well, they're frustrated. They're not playing at the level they expect to play.
Yeah. So here's the thing, you know, mm-hmm. I'm supposed to feel good and feel like, you know, we got a chance.
Yes.
No.
Hold on. No. Hold up. No.
Couldn't last week you said?
Oh, no. Let me handle this.
Okay.
Let me handle this. Because you just told me last week that you were no longer going to nitpick at the wins. You're going to enjoy the team because you didn't enjoy the season last year and you looked up before you knew it. They were in the Super Bowl and had won the Super Bowl, and you had missed out on an entire season. You just said this last week. All it took was for one game for you to go back to that, and it's a game they actually won. They actually won the game, and I'm trying to bring you back to my side of things, Chuck. That's all. That's all I'm trying to do.
Don't let them do it.
I understand the frustration. Believe me, in the midst of the game when it's happening, I'm frustrated too. I'm yelling at my TV. I'm with everybody else. But then when that clock hits 00, and we have more points than the other team, I take a sigh of relief and say, "Whew! That's another notch in our belt. We're 8-2. We're on to the next one." This was a tough stretch. We still got two more games, four games in the span of 18 days. Four games. We're through the toughest part of that four-game stretch. Now we got to go to Dallas and smack them around next week, and then we got to smack the Bears around after Thanksgiving. And then you know what we're going to be, Chuck? We're going to be 10-2, Chuck. 10-2, and you're still going to be mad at the team, Chuck.
I called it. I said Jared Goff, whatever his called name, he was a fraud. Okay, I said that if I take a Vic Fangio defense over Dan Campbell offense any day of the week, and I was right, but I'm just saying, you know, my brain is bleeding, man, watching this offense. I'm at the point now where I just want the offense to score 16 points in the regular season and get out the way. You know what I mean? Just, you know, I want to see this defense now. I'm excited when the defense come on the field. I'm with you.
Perplexed.
How can you be so good or be so bad at the same time? And I'm still enjoying the win. Trust me.
Okay.
We ain't gonna sit here. This quarterback looks terrible. The offensive play calling, the designs look terrible. I don't even know where to start at. I want to feel good, trust me. And I don't think there's a team that could come in here and beat this team. And I tell you, the NFL better be thanking their lucky stars their offense ain't got it together. And if they do get it together, they're going to be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Anybody coming from is going to be in trouble. But I'm just
one
saying,
thing
man.
Before you go, Chuck. No, let me tell you this. Let me assure you of this. The offense will get it together well enough to get us that second Lombardi. Just remember I told you that.
I do.
They'll get it together just like they got it together enough last year to get the other one. They're going to do it again this year. They will.
You know why I believe that, Ike?
Yep.
One reason why I believe that.
Because I told you.
That's one reason, but I hear another reason, right? The reason I believe that, right, is because I believe the Eagles play poker. They're not showing the whole hand. The dynamic of the game is going to change in the playoffs, and that's when they're going to add Jalen Hurts' legs.
I think they got a 6 and a 2.
And that's what I believe. But, you know, hey, 8-2, I take it, man. Peace.
All right, Chuck. 215-592-9494. We will have Nick Sirianni talking before 4 o'clock, so don't go anywhere. I'm sure there'll be a lot of fun questions for Nick. 215-592-9494. What Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Catch all the Eagles action at the official sports bar of your Philadelphia Eagles. That's Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. Remember, Jordan Mailata Show coming up at 6 live here at Chickies in South Philly. Then the Players Lounge at 7 with IQ and Elliot. We will have Nick Sirianni's press conference coming up soon. That is sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you'll sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. 215-592-9494. Oh, here is Nick Sirianni.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
With Elliot, and then go to John McMullen.
Hey Nick, you now have a record of 40-2 when you win the turnover battle. I know the concept of not turning the ball over is nothing new, but is there a certain point in your career where you decided it was something you really wanted to stress? And why do you think your team in particular has so much success when you win the turnover battle?
Yeah, I think. Really, you know, you're a product of everything that you kind of go through as a coach, as a player. You know, it's always been about the ball. You know, I always admired Pete Carroll's programs and of how much they talked about the football. I think that when I got to, you know, I think I thought I knew how to teach ball security and all those different things until I got around Tom Rathman. And in Indianapolis, and he was a maniac about it and just relentless about it. And Jamal Singleton is very similar. They're very similar in that. And if I had worked with Jamal before Tom, I would have said, I got around this guy, Jamal Singleton, because Jamal does a great job on it as well. But it's just this obsession there with the football, because we always talk about victory favors the team, you know, making the fewest mistakes. There's a sign like that up on our wall, and it's about playing with great detail with your fundamentals. And so that's obviously something that's very important to us. You know, the two games that we did lose, you know, one in 21 was to Kansas City and in the regular season, the other one was last year against Washington. But you combined when you combine good talent with good detail and good fundamentals, that's where you get some special things happening. And I think that's, you know, been a big key, you know, the talent combined with the fundamentals. And then you add the defense taking the football away and doing the things that they do, and being just as obsessive about it on that end as well. You know, and it's just something that we've been very obsessive about. Our guys have done a great job of paying attention to it and playing to their strengths with the ball in their hands and trying to take it away.
We'll go to John McMullen and then Jeff McClain.
Hey, Nick. There's a report out there that Lane is going to miss some time. Can you confirm that? And how confident are you in Fred to handle that slot? And also the big packages, how does that affect? Because that had become a big part of the offense with Fred playing extra tight end.
Yeah, and I know yesterday we did some of that, and we were able to, you know, Pryor was able to do some of that. We'll see with Lane. You know, I know that he'll do everything he can do to get back as quick as he possibly can. We'll see the time that's missed. You guys know me. I'm not going to get into, you know, how much time, what, you know, this or that. But obviously you all saw the report, and we'll see where that leads. I'll have more information as we continue on throughout the week. As far as the big packages, again, like I said, you know, Pryor has the ability to do that, and have a lot of confidence in Pryor and Fred. I think they've played good football, you know, when they've been able to go in and play.
We'll go to McClain and then Ed Kratz.
Hey, Nick, we've seen Cameron Latu when he's been out there as the fullback exclusively. But is there something preventing him from being more of a blocking tight end? I mean, since that is kind of his position.
You know, Cam's done a really good job for us, you know, on many different fronts. He's done awesome on special teams. He's a menace out there on special teams, you know, with his physicality, and with his ability, you know, to tackle and block, destruct and block, all those things that he's doing well in space. You know, obviously he's playing our fullback position, you know, like you mentioned. And we're really pleased with the guys that we have playing the tight end position. That doesn't mean that he can't go in there and function at a high level, but, you know, we're pleased with the guys that we have in there and what they're doing, and know that Cam can go in and be successful with it as well. But Cam's role right now is, you know, at that fullback position, spotting in at tight end with different things, and then playing a big role in special teams.
We'll go to Ed and then Dave Zangaro.
Yeah, hi, Nick. I want to ask you about Jalen Phillips. I know it's a short sample size, two games, but, you know, this defense has only allowed 16 points against two very good offenses. How much difference has he made on that defensive front now that you've seen him for two games and X amount of practices?
Yeah, he plays with a great physicality. He plays with a great motor, something that, you know, when we talk about what tough means, it's mental, physical, and relentless effort. He plays with all three of those things. Awesome. And, you know, obviously he's been, you know, a good addition these past 2 weeks. Look forward to continuing to get him going even more. But I think the front as a whole has continued to excel as well. And that's just those guys playing great team football together, because, you know, because it's happening in the secondary as well. You know, we're getting good matches, we're getting good rushes, and that all that works in conjunction with each other. So, you know, just the defense is doing a really nice job these last couple games, just playing as a great, just as a team, a great group unit.
We'll go to Dave and then Martin Frank.
Nick, along those lines, a lot of your defensive linemen seem really proud about their group rush, being able to work together. What does it take for that unit to work in cohesion like that?
You know, selflessness. I think that's first and foremost. Obviously, when you play that position, you obviously want to always get sacks. Like, they're judged so much on sacks. But when you can rush as a unit, because it does, it takes everybody, and it takes everybody rushing as a unit, and be so happy for your teammate when they make a play. You know, that just builds on top of each other. Again, the best teams that I've been on have great, you know, good teams have good players, great teams have great teammates. And you really see that with the I love that they're so excited for each other in that. That's, you try to stress that and show that as much as you possibly can, because, and this is the greatest team sport there is, and you can't be great without the greatness of others. There's no more true in all sports than it, that I feel, than in the defensive line. And we just are getting great group efforts. Truly, you see the excitement for each other when they make a play, and you love that, because that just emphasizes team, because it's the best teams that win, not the best groups of individuals.
We'll go to Martin and then Tim McManus.
Hey, Nick. I was wondering, these last few weeks, you know, Green Bay and Detroit obviously weren't the best games offensively for you guys. But did Jalen Hurts kind of like show you something just with his leadership, with his poise during these games? I mean, is there anything new that you saw from him in these last two games?
Just, you know, it's just always that his will to win is always on display, to do whatever he needs to do to help us win a football game. Whether that's throwing for a ton of yards, whether that's running for yards, whether that's handing it off, that's what you love. That's what I always love about Jalen, is he'll do everything that he needs to do to help us win games. You know, and selfless. You know, he's always doing that and finding ways to help us win football games and doing what's necessary to win football games. Sometimes it's, you know, it's just every game is, there's a different thing required. So I think that, you know, through this little winning streak that we have going on right now, he's just, you know, continues to find ways to put us in positions to succeed. And, you know, but we know as an offense, we want to continue to get better. We have a long way to go, and there's a lot of opportunities for us to get better. That's what today was about. But yeah, I love Jalen's ability to find ways to help us win. And I think that's what you see from our team, is we find ways to win, and then we go back to work and try to find ways to get better.
We have time for two more, so we'll go to Tim and finish with Zach Berman.
Hey, Nick, I know you've talked about how you view analytics in the past. Curious as it applies to the end of game situation. So Green Bay, the 4th and 6th, and the 4th and 1 against Detroit. Like, what kind of information are you getting in real time? And then how are you sort of applying that in your decision-making process?
Yeah, like I said, guys, like I've talked to you guys about this. Again, there's a lot of different factors that go into it. It always starts with the players and the play that you're calling. First, do you have faith in the players that you have? The analytics can say what it wants, but if you don't have faith in the players to go execute it, you know, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence. So then what play do you have, the players that you have? And then you do it. Analytics is a piece of the puzzle. You know, all these different things are a piece of the puzzle. You know, your past successes, the league studies that you do, all these things play into that. I love our process. That doesn't, just because you have a great process doesn't automatically mean that you're going to convert every fourth down. I completely understand that. But, you know, great process with our coaches, great process, you know, figuring out how we go about attacking there, and when we go about, you know, going for it. Ultimately, always, you know, I have to make those tough calls, and have, you know, be able to have that conviction again, because when you don't convert on fourth down, right, it is always going to be on you as the head coach, because you ultimately made that decision. And you're not going to get a lot of praise when you get it on fourth down. Like, coach, great job on that decision. That just doesn't go that way. And that's okay. So you have to have major conviction within yourself, understanding that there's going to be major criticisms when you don't get it. And there's not a lot of points that are given to you when you do get it. And so you have to have major, you have to have a major process that you go through to put yourself in a position where you can have major conviction when you make those decisions. And fully accept all the criticism that happens when you don't get it, because that's my job as a coach. And but it can affect you moving forward of making the right decisions with the right process as we continue on.
We'll finish with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. You said last night that the way the game is played is sometimes dictated by what's happening in the game. When the defense is playing at this level, how do you either manage the game differently, call the game differently, or even accordingly based on the defense?
Yeah, you know, I think that will get a little bit technical, Zach. I don't want to get into everything there. There are obviously different things, but, you know, it can affect decision-making in the second half, you know, of things that you do in the second half. You're always trying to get up and get a lead in that first half, but it can affect some of those things. But you always want to play, you know, obviously with the lead, but even the more the lead, obviously the more comfortable you can be right there. So you're always trying to add to that. But, you know, it can help you decide on when to kick field goals, help you decide on when to punt, different things like that, you know, knowing when the defense is rolling like that. But again, that's what I'm saying. It's like a, you know, there's all these different pieces of the puzzle to help you make decisions, and you got to have the, you know, discernment and wisdom as you're going through the game to understand how the game's being played.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate your time.
Thank you all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, Nick Sirianni. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We'll get to your calls right after I tell you about something very, very important. Very, very special.
This read again?
Very, very. Well, no, different one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Colonial Hyundai. Also very, very important.
Yep.
Colonial, you know, it's the holiday season. Could come with a lot of stress. Not a Colonial Hyundai. The cars are like, wants to zap your stress. You know zero stress when you go to Colonial. But if you go now, you have your choice between two other zeros, also both good. Zero down, 0% financing. So when you look through their lot, which has tons of brand new Hyundais, you get your choice. You know, Palisade, Santa Fe, Tucson, any new Hyundai, you're going to have your choice of zero down and 0% financing. And you know zero stress. You know, Colonial, consistently recognized for giving more trade-in value than any other place in the Delaware Valley. So much so that they are going to give you $6,500 guaranteed for your trade. And you know, every brand new Hyundai at Colonial comes with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain with Hyundai Assurance. That's zero stress as well. So no stress, no chaos, no nonsense, just brand new Hyundais with lots of zeros at Colonial right now. Route 30 in Downingtown or online, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the fast, easy, better way to buy a Hyundai. In-stock vehicles only. Offers can't be combined. Lease Tier 1 credit through HMF. 10,000 miles a year, 20% down plus first payment, tax, tags, and fees. See dealer for full details. You know, fellas, we're going to finish up this part of the program, and I'm doing so where I gotta pee so bad.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, so.
You got a tinkle?
I'm going to, if I got to get a cup, I'll get a cup.
Wow.
But I am going to finish this segment.
Wow. Is this the proof of point off of what happened with me last week?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
215-592-9494.
Coming out at different ends.
Yes. Mine far less dangerous than yours. Aaron in Mount Airy, you're a WIP. What's up, Aaron?
What's up, fellas? Hey, listen.
What up, baby?
You know, me being a truck driver, you know, I'm a I'm accustomed to, you know what I mean, going inside the club in the cup on the side of the road. You gotta do what you gotta do. But listen, you may not remember 2 weeks ago, but them Tupac lyrics and stuff was not affected by them wedges that you used to run into. Cause you know them off the top of your head. And I appreciate that.
That is one thing I do mean to bring up. You know, with your memory sometimes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Tupac songs comes
and goes, man. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It just comes and goes, man. Yeah.
But this is the crux of it. Mm-hmm. The offense is not going to get better. Cause this is what I was saying to myself last night. Y'all remember Open Book Test? And this is the thing.
I love those tests.
But here's the thing: you have to have already read it or studied the material to know where to find it in the book, because you're on the time limit, so you got to already know where to find it in the book. That's not what the Eagles' offense is. They have the cheat sheet, and they're still failing the test. That's how inept the offense is, because they don't know: is it the coaches or is it us? And the coach is like, is it us or is it the players? They don't know. It just goes to be like this all year long, and we can complain about it after every game, because, you know, one game you may put up 35 points, and then you go back to then the following week, you're only going to put up 12. But the defense is holding up their end of the bargain. And there's going to come a time where the defense is going to give up points, because that's just the NFL. But I have confidence in Jalen Hurts to do what he needs to do in that game to pull it out. But for us to be a consistent offense, that ain't happening for the rest of the year. It's not. It's just, I don't see it, because it would have already happened. I mean, to consistently have a good game, top to bottom. Yeah, we played a good game. It hasn't happened yet. The offense can't, the running game can't get going.
Well, the Giants game. That's the only one. Just the Giants game.
Without AJ.
Without AJ. Maybe because everyone had a clear mind. So it's like, you know, we just going to play ball. We don't got to focus on this guy, because we came out with a clear intention to get AJ the ball last night, and the offense did not look spectacular. So I hope AJ has the wherewithal to say, you know what, let me chill out. Because even when the ball is targeted my way, we're not very explosive. So let's just win these games and we'll do what we got to do at the end of the year. So I hope he has the wherewithal to do that. But this is what's going to be for the rest of the year. And if you ask me, we're the best team in the NFL. Not just the NFC, in the NFL, we're the best team, top to bottom, and in clutch moments, we're known to come through in clutch moments. Because everyone is saying, the Lions, the Lions, how are you going to stop the Lions' offense? Somehow we did it.
Yeah, I agree with you that I think that's how the offense is going to look. I agree with you that they could still be the best team in the NFL that way. I think look, you're right in that I can say concern. It's not going to matter, right? It does, my concern doesn't make the Eagles' offense better, whatever, is that their margin for error is so small right now. I think their point differential is like 33, which means they're, you know, the average of being 3 points better than the other team. Now, look, that's still 3 points. And I could go back through every game that they've won and say, if this happens, that happens, this happens. The fact is that it didn't, you know, and it didn't bite. You know, Ike brought up the Chiefs. It didn't bite the Chiefs last year until the very last game of the year. And if we can get ourselves to the very last game of the year, I'll take my chances on how the last game goes. I agree with you. And I don't think they can fix it, because I think it is a combination of a lot of different things. This isn't about patience at this point anymore. It's not about being patient and letting the offense figure it out. I think we're past that point. Now, I do think we'll have games. And the frustrating part, Aaron, is we are going to have a game, whether it's this week or the week after, where they explode and they score 30-some points, and we say to ourselves, they figured it out. And then the next game, they'll score 17. And it won't be there. But I think this is where I've generally disagreed with Elliot on the turnover thing being the most important thing. I think when they are playing the way they are now offensively, it becomes the most important thing.
Yep.
Because
yes. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I think Hurts realized what we are not. See, I cannot turn the ball over. I think he says to himself, I can't turn the ball over, because we're not a give the ball to Saquon Barkley like last year, you're going to break off for 60 yards. We're not we're not completing, because we threw the ball deep. Plenty of times last night. Maybe it had something to do with the wind, whatever it came to be, but he wasn't connecting on them. You know what's funny? Whenever they throw the ball to Jahan Dotson, he happens to come down with the ball.
So maybe we should run the ball a little
bit. He does seem like he catches more of his targets than anybody else. Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, I think Hurts says, I can't turn the ball over because we just don't have it this year. We just don't have it. And that's the way we got to win. That's the way we got to win. Ball control and defense. It's going to be frustrating in the midst of watching it. Like, can we do anything right? Because I predict, I was like, yeah, we're going to go 3-and-out. First series of the game, we're going to go 3-and-out. We didn't go 3-and-out. But it's just to be expected that we're going to go 3-and-out the first series of the game.
It was like 6-and-out.
Yeah. And they do have more – they have more 3-and-outs by percentage of drives than any team in the NFL.
Which is
and
crazy.
And any team since 2014. Yeah.
And that includes the Jets. And that includes the Bears with the bad quarterback play they had. So I don't know how we win, but we win. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. Yeah, I think if they can, I think one thing that would help them offensively is if they are, I don't know if I agree with Aaron that Jalen has just decided that, well, we're not going to score points, so this is what I'm going to do. They have to figure out a way to not put themselves in so many third and longs. And if that means short little passes for 4 yards on first and one. Now, we had those drops. I don't know if they were trying to do that in the beginning of the game. We had a bunch of drops in the beginning of the game. I just remember for the first half that we had 1 3rd and 1, which we didn't convert, of course. Yeah. But everything else.
We decided not to run a tush push.
Yeah. But everything else was 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 8. You just, for a team that is not passing the ball particularly well, you're going to have three and outs when you have 3rd and long all the time. And that is if they can figure out one thing, it's to put themselves in a better position on 3rd down than they've been in. Because I just think it puts too much pressure on the defense to have that many three and outs.
Because
you're also giving up bad field position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other team has it on their own 40 or their own 45 if those things are happening.
I mean, they got 3 drives. They started 3 drives on, like, the 45-yard line.
Yeah.
Because Detroit kept going for it, and the defense stopped them. And I think we only got points out of one of those times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I got good news because relief is on the way.
Okay.
Look at some of these defenses we're about to face. Dallas.
Dallas is terrible.
Stinks.
Stinks.
Chicago. Stinks. The Chargers. Stink. Vegas. Stinks. Washington.
Stinks.
Stinks. Buffalo.
Their defense stinks.
Stinks.
Yeah.
Washington. Stinks. So when I say I feel like they'll get it going, I don't know if it's ever going to be to the standard that we want it to be, but some relief is on the way where at least we may start to get to see some explosive plays again, and the offense sort of resembles, or at least it goes into the postseason feeling better about itself.
Yeah, I think so. Now, we were told what a great position we were in going into this game because the whole defensive secondary for the Lions.
40-mile-per-hour wins.
Oh, right.
What are you going to do? So if they don't perform against those offenses, are we allowed to be concerned heading into the postseason?
It is what it is.
Of course you are, but you're going to do that anyway.
Not if they go out and at least bludgeon some of these teams. I think we'll be much more calm.
No, because you know what everybody was like? You're the bad team. Yeah, you beat the Raiders.
Would never do that.
215-592-9494. So the end
There's
of last
clear,
week.
Clear path to run the table here.
I think it was Thursday.
They better run the table.
Was it Thursday that John Clark reported about the meeting, or was it Friday?
It was Thursday because we were on the air Friday.
Well, we were on the air both days.
Right, but I'm saying Friday would not have been on Saturday.
Okay.
I thought we reacted in real time. We didn't wait till the next day to react.
No, but I remember we talked about it in the meeting.
Okay, on Friday. Okay.
Yeah, yes. I got you.
So John Clark had reported, and we weren't able to talk to him about it, that A.J. Brown, Big Dom, well, Big Dom got A.J. Brown and Jeffrey Lurie together to talk about the A.J. situation. There was more insight that was given to that from Sal Powell. Here is Sal Powell Antonio.
A.J. Brown pledged. Owner.
No. I don't want to hear him. I was just going to read it. But thank you, Buzz. You were on it right there. Sal Powell wrote, Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie met with A.J. Brown during practice last week to hash out the star wide receiver's public frustration over, oh, actually, Tim McManus wrote this, over his role in Philadelphia's offense, a senior team official told ESPN Sal Palantonio. The highly unusual move was prompted by Eagles security chief Dom DeSandro, who waved Brown over to the sideline during Thursday's practice to chat with Lurie, the team official told Palantonio. During the 10-minute meeting, Brown promised Lurie that he would stop complaining on social media, according to the team official, but Brown also told Lurie that he just wants to be part of the offense and is frustrated. Lurie told Brown that he didn't need to apologize, and the pair concluded their meeting with a hug, and the wide receiver returned to practice. Team sources told Palantonio that it marked the first time any of them could remember DeSandro facilitating a meeting on the field between Lurie and a player. So, my tea leaf reading is this happens in public for two reasons. First of all, it is like you sort of catch AJ Brown off guard in this way, and it's public so everyone can see that it actually happened. You remember last time when we had the meeting scenario about Saquon, Jalen, and AJ, there was no proof that anything had happened because nobody saw anything. Right. And AJ said it actually was different than it was reported.
Yeah.
In this case, it was...
after he initially said it didn't happen.
After he initially said it didn't happen. So in this case, it was there for everyone to see.
Yes.
So that is the first reason I think it happens this way. The second reason I think it happens this way and is reported the way it is because it is reported that AJ said he wouldn't do anything on social media anymore. So if he does, then everybody knows that he said that he wouldn't, right? And then that adds to the third thing, is that if he does do it and everybody knows that he said he wouldn't, if the Eagles choose to discipline A.J. Brown for doing what he did, then everyone would have some idea as to why they were doing it, because they believe that A.J. said that he wouldn't do it anymore, a public that generally likes to side with A.J.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my guess would be that this was that they've tried every other way to get it to stop. My guess is that Nick has talked to him about it, that other players have talked to him about, maybe not directly, but they've had conversations. This is their Hail Mary. We want to win a Super Bowl this year. We need this to stop. We need it. Even the players can say, I don't care how many times players say this doesn't affect anything in the locker room. It has to.
Yep.
Maybe it doesn't mean that they're fighting in the locker room. That's not what I'm saying, but it has to affect Jalen. I think this is a Hail Mary to get him to stop it, and also afford some accountability if he does it, and also prevents him from saying it didn't happen because it happened in front of people. That is my gut looking at the way that it happened and the way that it's reported.
Makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder what he does now.
Yeah. Listen, last night he said all the right things after the game.
He did.
You know, he got his targets. They clearly made an effort to get him targets.
Were you disappointed that they did? I was a little bit.
Yeah.
I said, why are you doing this?
Yeah, because it was so obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like it's so obvious. And the crazy part is, it didn't matter.
No.
It didn't matter.
He went down every time he caught the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or he didn't get open. Like he got eight targets, I believe, in the first half.
Yeah.
He had eight targets in the first half, 11 total. Catching seven passes for only 49 yards.
Do you think it's a – I know you're just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a here damn sort of
– Oh, yeah.
You know?
They already did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like they've done that a couple times this year.
Yeah.
Just to get them to stop.
But it doesn't work. It doesn't work.
And that's what I'm saying. It doesn't work. we saw the second half of the Tampa game. It was clearly that they came out and made a conscious effort to get him the ball because he felt like he wasn't getting the ball enough in the first half when the first half was flowing. I think Jalen had started that game like 13 or 15, something like that, in that Tampa game.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden you go in the second half and he didn't complete a pass. That's the game, right, where he didn't complete a pass in the second
half. He was 0 for 8.
0 for 8.
Yes.
And the majority of those targets went to AJ.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good when you make a conscious effort to all of a sudden go away from what you do as that's comfortable to appease one individual.
Especially when that individual is acting badly to get you to appease
him. Yeah.
It would be one thing if he hadn't said a word and they said to themselves,
right,
we really got to find a way here. He's a great player, but that's not the way that it happened.
And they clearly did it because he complained, and he was complaining about it.
Yes.
They have every opportunity, every game, to do this with AJ if that's what they wanted to do. But it always seems like it's a reaction to AJ complaining.
Yes.
And I don't think Jalen likes that.
Nor should he.
I don't think Jalen likes that. And I wonder the chemistry of working together. How much time is being put in with those two guys before practice, after practice, catching balls?
None.
And that's what I don't get. I don't get. We're not on the same page. Well, you have the ability to work on these things together if you want to get on the same page. The idea that you're going to just show up on Sunday and the chemistry is going to be flawless and he's going to be satisfied with his touches and his yards and we're going to go out there and win, that clearly has not happened.
Well, and you mentioned there's no way that Jalen likes it. Imagine you're Devontae Smith. You're having the best year of his career. Everybody says that he runs the best routes on the team. Mm-hmm. He has the best offensive game you have all year is where he stars, and there's no AJ.
Yeah.
And then they go and they force the ball to AJ 8 times in the first half, and you wind up with the worst game you had all season.
Yeah.
And you still wind up with 16 points.
Yeah.
Score one touchdown.
Yeah. So now he's happy, though, because he contributed and he got his targets.
Right.
That's all that should matter to everybody. it's beyond me, man. And I like AJ. I do. But this idea that this should be the focal point of what they're doing down there is wrong. The idea of it doesn't make sense to me. You should be trying to win football games. And, of course, you want him to be a part of it. But he can't be – or – at least right now, from a physical standpoint, he's not going to be the sole reason why you're winning, why you win games. It doesn't mean he shouldn't be involved. I can understand that part of it. But it looks like they go above and beyond to make him happy when he has these type of outbursts and he's holding court in front of his locker and talking about how the offense isn't performing well, and he feels he can help it, and this and the other. By the way, you're being critical of everybody on the offense, including the play designers.
Everybody.
Indirectly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
You're saying that your touches are worth more than the other players who are also getting touches.
Yes.
And to me, it looks like they're operating out of fear instead of operating out of
necessity,
fear, for lack
or,
of a
yes.
better word.
Yep.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. I know somebody who'd be good to talk about that with. That'd be Donovan McNabb. We'll talk to him next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.